The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Matthew. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. We have the color blue around us. We are stepping into the first day of a new church calendar year, so Happy New Year. Wait till January 1st for that excitement, I guess. Advent is a Latin word. It means coming. It's a time when we await the coming of Jesus. It's the time that leads us into Christmas Day. Advent is also a time that parallels the winter solstice. We get our traditions of Advent from when Christians first traveled to the Celts and discovered all of these really cool Celtic ways of embracing creation around them. In understanding how the nights grew longer up until that period of around December 21st when night is the longest, and then it starts to switch and daylight gets a little bit longer each day. It was always this renewed hope that the seasons were going to return, that harvest was going to come back. And by and large, Christianity has adopted a lot of that symbolism. If you look at our hymns and our liturgies throughout the time of Advent, it's always using language of waiting and darkness and the coming light. However, I've been spending some time with people of color who have had a different experience with Advent. I recently went down to San Diego for a conference that the Synod makes me go to. It's a huge waste of my time. I absolutely hate going. But there was one three-hour block of time that I really appreciated. And it was sitting down going over this book called Dear Church, written by a black pastor in the ELCA. And the book details the racism that he has encountered, not just throughout his life, but in seminary, at an ELCA seminary, through synodical folks, through people around him. And he comes from this very authentic and raw place of expressing this pain. And it's not just him lambasting the church, but it's him trying to call the ELCA in particular to be a vehicle to combat racism in our country. And one of the things he talks about is how do we approach our liturgies? Now, one of the things he does detail, and it's an experience that I have not had, but I had the ability to sit around a table with a bunch of other colleagues of mine, colleagues of color, to hear their experiences. And what they were talking about, what they've connected to, is that language of darkness and black has always been connected to something negative. Throughout Advent, and I have experienced this in my time, when we talk about the darkness, when we talk about the light of Christ coming to pull us from that darkness, we always talk about it in a way that darkness is a negative thing. And Jesus saves us from that. And people of color for decades and decades and decades have felt the effects of using language of darkness as a negativism towards them. And for me, reading this book, that was kind of an intellectual understanding until I got to sit around a table with these other colleagues of mine of color and hear their experiences in how this has made them feel, in how language of darkness as a negative has affected them very, very authentically in their lives. And so I wanted to take that for this season of Advent. And instead of following my own compulsion of looking at darkness as a negative thing, as looking at the darkness around our lives as the thing that Jesus saves us from, I wanted to start a sermon series this Advent that I'm going to call Beauty in the Darkness. Now, this isn't just my way as a pastor to transform our language to look at darkness in a renewed way, but also as a pastor and as your shepherd, as someone who has walked with you in your own moments of trials and tribulation and struggle, or what maybe we would call darkness, I have experienced beauty and love and things that suddenly become so much more meaningful. I think we have a fear of those spaces in our lives and we try to avoid them. We even try to avoid talking about them. And so I also want to use this period of Advent to kind of help us step into those spaces and realize that these things that we might look at as negative sometimes are the most prominent places that God is present with us and speaks to us, and these are the ways that we experience God most profoundly. So I figure the best way to do that is to start today by talking about the end of the world. Right? That did not get as big of a laugh as I was expecting. I guess we're scared, right? You guys don't have to be scared. Because this is the beginning of Advent, it's also the time when we are moving away from reading the Gospel of Luke into reading the Gospel of Matthew. And so the first Sunday of Advent always starts with this apocalyptic language. It starts at the very back of whatever gospel we're reading. Today it's the Gospel of Matthew. And it's Jesus talking about what people have framed over time, the end of the world. This end times language. And you have to understand where Matthew is coming from. Matthew is writing his gospel sometime around the year 80 AD. The Roman Empire under the Emperor Nero has just unleashed its great persecution against Jewish and Christian people. During the year 80, the Colosseum in Rome is under construction and will primarily be used against Christian and Jewish people. And so for Jewish and Christian people within Matthew's community, they are experiencing what feels like the end of the world. But not only that, they're coming from this Jewish understanding of what's called the eschaton. It's where we get the word eschatology. And it's this belief that one day God was going to reconcile the entire world, that God was going to eliminate all injustice and pain and strife and division. But not only that, God was also going to raise up all of the dead to take part in this renewed life. And this renewed life, it wasn't going to take place in heaven in some other part of the universe or something like that, or some other dimension. It was going to happen right here on earth. And so when these communities started telling these stories of Jesus being resurrected from the dead, he was the first fruit of this. He was the first sign that this great reconciling work that God was going to do had started. And so people had been waiting eagerly for Jesus to show up and right these wrongs, but it wasn't happening as quick as they were hoping it would happen. And so Matthew records these words of Jesus and tells them as a way to give people hope who felt like they were approaching an ending in their lives. But he was also reminding them that we don't just sit on our hands and wait for God to show up and take care of everything. We are to keep awake. We are to move. We are to participate in this great eschaton that is supposed to happen. Every Sunday, we do the Lord's Prayer, and we always say those words, "Thy kingdom come." It's this renewed reminder for ourselves that God's kingdom is coming into this world each and every day. It doesn't happen on the timeline that we wish it would happen, but it does come in every glimmer of hope, in every act of love, in every moment of compassion. God's kingdom is perpetually coming into this world, and we get to participate in that. Now, that might sound like a beautiful way to talk about endings, I don't know. But for me, I struggle finding beauty in endings. While everybody was celebrating at my high school graduation, I remember this so vividly, everybody was hooting and hollering and throwing their hats in the air. I was sitting there crying like a baby. I didn't want it to end. I really liked high school. I really liked college and seminary too, but I don't like endings. I hate them. They make me sad because we're letting go of a period of our lives. And it's tough. Endings can be really tough. The endings of relationships, I'm sure we've all experienced that in some way. The endings of careers, especially when it's unexpected. The endings of whole chapters in our lives, whatever they may be. And especially those endings that we experience through loved ones around us when they part from this world. The thing is that endings are all around us all the time. And if you're like me, you're afraid of them. You're so afraid of them that you actually try to avoid them until you can't any longer. One of the endings that I'm experiencing right now that is causing me so much distress is in regards to this planet. I just read recently that with the fires in Australia, koala bears are basically extinct. They no longer have a habitat within which to live. And that devastates me. I also read that within the last 45 years, 60% of living species on this planet have been wiped out. And that crushes me inside. And when I get to those places of despair about endings, I feel like I'm Matthew's audience here, throwing up my arms and just saying, well, that's it. Nothing left to do but just sit on my hands and wait for God to show up. And like Matthew's audience, I need those words of resounding hope and that call to action, that perhaps endings aren't really endings. That God is present here and now in some way that I can't understand, and that God is inviting us to participate in whatever way God is going to come and reconcile this world. And I have to believe that that means reconciling creation and the destruction that we as human beings are causing. I guess my point is that whatever endings you might be facing, you don't have to just sit there and take it. We all have agency in the endings that are around us. And if we can just find the courage to step into them, to embrace them, to see where God is present in them and how God is working through them, then these endings can be transformative. They can shape us. They can point us to experiences of the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. They can point us to that truth that we believe in as Christians, that endings aren't endings. They can help us open our eyes and see things and appreciate things in a whole different way that we didn't before. So my invitation for us is this first Sunday in Advent, as we are stepping into this period of time, this month that we have together, is to find beauty in the darkness. To step into whatever endings might exist around you. Even if you're afraid of them, and that's okay, take courage to step into them. And if you need someone to walk with you in that time, to be there with you, to hold your hand, come talk to me. I will so happily do that for you. My hope is that if we can do this, if we can find that courage to step into those endings, whatever they may be, we can find how they transform us. If it's the ending of a relationship, we can realize how ending one relationship will inform how we create new ones. If it's the ending of a chapter in our life, maybe that will help us see that that means we get to start a whole new chapter. If it's the ending of life around us through a loved one, maybe it will help us discover this treasure that will always exist inside of our hearts and our memories, that our loved ones are never really gone. And if it's our own end that is approaching, maybe it'll help us see how the present somehow becomes so much more important. And I think there's beauty in that. Plus, not all endings are endings after all. Amen. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.